My guest this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt. He is a member of the House Budget Committee and has been a guest of ours many times to discuss tax reform legislation. We want to get his latest insights as the debate intensifies. And Congressman, thanks so much, as always, for being with us.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me on.
Well, getting a budget passed is a vital step before the details on tax reform can really get rolling. The House passed a budget with a lot more in spending cuts than the Senate did. And now, of course, the House is being pressured to approve the Senate bill as it is rather than go to a conference to save time. And perhaps the argument is that that's the best Republicans are going to get. So are you and other House Republicans okay with that in order to get cracking on the tax bill? Or do you think it would set the stage for a better bill to fight for some of the cuts you had in the House budget?
Yeah, most of us, unfortunately, are so pessimistic with the Senate performance over Obamacare repeal that we pretty much concluded we had $200 billion in mandatory reforms that we were pretty happy about achieving, and we're going to be giving that up. But if we don't move on tax right now, the alternative is giving up about 3 weeks and then maybe not getting tax done before this year, right before Christmas. And then the swamp, the longer you wait, right, like on the Obamacare repeal, the Senate ended up with a skinny bill that didn't do anything, and they couldn't even vote to pass that thing. So we're worried about the same logic unfolding. We have wide agreement on the basic parameters on the tax package, right? The C-Corp at 20%, S-Corps at 25%, repatriation, bringing $1 trillion back to the U.S., making our firms more competitive. And then the biggie is getting middle-class tax reform. But the longer you wait, the more the swamp engages and takes away their special loopholes and deductions, and those are called pay-fors. And if you lose that money, then we won't have the money that we will need to lower the rates for the middle class. And so that's the real risk as we go forward, is losing that that attractive tax package we put together. As the swamp comes in and asks for, you know, little piece by little piece by little piece. So that's the overall 30,000-foot view.
So when the push is on to have the House accept what the Senate has done, because that's the best you're going to get from the Senate, and as you mentioned, we've seen what they're incapable of doing when it comes to Obamacare repeal or reform,
right,
or whatever term you want to use, does that essentially mean that the likes of Susan Collins, John McCain, Lisa Murkowski, maybe Bob Corker, are ultimately going to determine how good this bill is?
Well, just on the budget side, we did have some compromise. There was a little, our chairman, Diane Black, did a real good job. And so on the budget, and the budget piece, by the way, the budget's already done. We already voted on 12 appropriations bills. So this budget really just contains instructions on how we're going to do tax. But you're right, five or six folks in the Senate, right, if they decide to put up a roadblock, we're going to be in trouble again. But so far, it looks no one's put up any stark red lines yet. And so we'll see, right? But it's just all a matter of keeping momentum. And on this bill, in contrast to the health care bill, we had the gang of six. Two people from the House, two from the Senate, two from the White House that all worked together from the beginning. So we do have a shared overall vision in those, you know, four or five bullet points I just read off about what we're trying to achieve. And it basically centers around, you know, President Trump ran on the middle class. And that wasn't just President Trump, right? I mean, the middle class in America knows something's wrong up here in the swamp. It was Bernie all the way through the Midwest states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, all the way through President Trump. And they haven't had a wage increase in 30 years. And so they rightly know that the swamp and the system up here is rigged in favor of elites and against them. And so they're demanding attention. And so, you know, I would not want to be the senator who holds that up. I don't think it'll go too well for them.
We're talking with Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt, member of the House Budget Committee. And you mentioned the key building blocks of this legislation, and one of them, of course, is middle-class tax relief. There's been a couple of issues that have come up, one of which the president has appeared to have scuttled on Twitter, and that was a supposed idea of limiting 401k contributions to $2,400 a year. Was that ever seriously being considered? What's the word on that?
I don't think so. I don't know how that made it out into the Twitter sphere, but that hasn't really come up in major conversations here. Most of it has to do with other, you know, big ticket items like the SALT, you know, the state and local tax write-offs, interest deductions for business that carry huge inventories, immediate expensing, all of those guys, and then scoring, dynamic scoring, all those things are in the, you know, about the $500 billion range or more. And so those are the biggies. And then there's, you know, there's always just the smaller items that catch people's attention. If you got a 401k, you don't want to hear anybody messing around with it. And so, you know, those pieces will come up, but that the 401k piece hasn't been in any discussion I've been a part of yet.
The other one, of course, that has gotten a lot of attention is the proposal to no longer allow deductions for state and local income tax payments. And the people that, of course, are most upset about that are the ones with the highest state income tax levels, folks from California, New Jersey, New York, and so forth. But as I look at the numbers, Congressman, Virginia is pretty high on that list, too. So where do you come down on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think the federal government should really be in the business of picking winners and losers and subsidizing, you know, rates that vary across states. And so I'm okay with that. I think that's also $1.5 trillion pay for. If you get rid of that, subsidizing New York and California, they have high taxes, they have high government services, and they like it that way. But why should someone in a low tax state like Texas or the Midwest be paying for elites on the coastal, on the beaches? That doesn't make sense either. So I'm kind of in favor of getting rid of that picking winners and losers, saving $1.5 trillion, giving everybody a tax cut, getting economic growth going, putting a couple $1,000s back in the average family's pocket, and getting their kid a job when you get out of college, right? It's so bad right now. The debt's $20 trillion. We owe $100 trillion to the kids' future payments on Medicare and Social Security and all those programs that we do not have. And so the one thing I can – I taught college kids for 20 years. The one thing I can offer them truthfully with a straight face is, hey, I'm going to pop this economy for you. I'm going to give you a chance. If you want to jump in and go pro-business, I'm going to provide an opportunity for you to set up the rest of your life. And I highly encourage everyone to take advantage while we get this economy moving right now.
Congressman, another issue that's going to come up, and the Democrats have already brought it up along with their perennial accusation that the bill is mainly geared towards the rich, is that, of course, of whether this adds to the deficits. And I was just listening to Larry Kudlow on the radio this morning talking about how estimates that you're going to get from the CBO and elsewhere are not going to factor in the economic growth that a lot of folks, including him and including you, are saying that this is almost guaranteed to bring. So how do you make the argument for this and that it won't actually have the impact on the deficits that the CBO and certainly the Democrats will suggest it will?
Yeah, well, Kudlow is super, and he's got it right. We're not going to get the dynamic scoring we want, but even more fundamental than that, how do you make the argument? It's pretty easy, and I mean, it shows you how far off the mainstream media is. You've never heard this reported, but the progressive Democrat budget they put in 2 weeks ago, right? We put in tax cuts, and we've got to overcome $1.5 trillion in debt over 10 years with economic growth, which we think we can pull off with some of the other levers as well. But the Democrats put in a $10 trillion tax increase over 10 years and $11 trillion in new spending and end up with more debt and deficit than we do, even though they raised taxes by $10 trillion. So the mainstream media hasn't covered that. So how do I defend myself against the other side who wants more debt and deficits than our own plan? I don't have to, right? I mean, the swamp is so out of control. Our side isn't doing a good enough job on spending restraint, and we don't want to add to the deficit at all. But we honestly think we are going to get growth, right? And the markets are already seeing it. We're approaching 3% GDP growth already this quarter, just on the expectations of this thing coming into place. And so we think that's for real. And 3%, you know, isn't some, you know, utopian leap. We think we can achieve that realistically, and that'll give you about $1 trillion extra dollars, and that'll pay for the tax cuts.
Well, let's get back to the Senate on the last question here. This is probably where most folks in the media would start the conversation, but I like to get to content. The ongoing Twitter spat here between the president and Senator Corker, whether or not it risks Senator Corker's vote for any tax bill is yet to be seen, obviously. But it certainly sucks the oxygen out of any narrative or message you want to bring as you advance tax reform. So is that hurting the effort to advance this legislation, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, the drama never helps. I mean, I like to keep it just on the, you know, the White House President Trump agenda, which, but if you go through it in order, you know, sequentially, we started off with Obamacare repeal, and then it really wasn't a repeal, and then it was a huge federal plan, and then the prices didn't come down, and then we Freedom Caucus members worked on it, so we got the price down a little bit, and then a skinny bill, which didn't do anything, and the Senate couldn't even vote for that. And so people are saying, well, this is President Trump's fault, and it's the White House fault, and what, I don't see that, right? They couldn't vote for Obamacare repeal that they promised. Same on tax. We have a broad agreement now, in principle, by the Gang of Six. And so, you know, there's drama going on, and people are tweeting it'd probably be better if that didn't happen. And so I prefer to just stick to the, you know, economic, rational policy side of life. But we'll see, right? We're going to have a vote coming up on tax probably before Thanksgiving, and then the Senate will have to do it before Christmas, and that'll tell the tale. And if the Senate doesn't vote yes for tax reform, like, we're out of business, right? They might as well pack their bags and head for home.
Wow. The always fun right before a Christmas session. Looking forward to it as always.
Oh, yeah.
Congressman.
You got it.
Always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Anytime. Thank you.
You bet, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.